Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Monday, May 30th. And today we're reading from the Big Book. We're still in Bill's story and we are going to be reading page 7, the first paragraph, which my brother-in-law is a physician and ends with, I have been seriously ill bodily and mentally. Today's readers are Rhonda R. for the 12 Steps, Juanice N. for the 12 Traditions, Shelley E., Kara L., and Jordan L. The reference number for yesterday's Sunday special edition for May 29th is 19005. That's 19005. And the reference number for today's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 19006. That's 19006. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's tradition, fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read those 12 steps.
Thank you, Elaine. I appreciate your service. This is Rhonda R. of Georgia, calling from Memphis, grateful compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for the opportunity to do service in May. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you for your service, Rhonda R. And now, Juanice N. will read the 12 traditions for us.
Good morning. Yes, I will. This is Juanice N., Southern California, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, An OA group are never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Juanisen. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in Bill's story on page 7. We're reading the first paragraph, and I will ask Shelley E. to please begin reading for us.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater, currently in Petoskey, Michigan. Bill's story, page 7. My brother-in-law is a physician, and through his kindness and that of my mother, I was placed in a nationally known hospital for the mental and physical rehabilitation of alcoholics. Under the so-called belladonna treatment, my brain cleared. Hydrotherapy and mild exercise helped much. Best of all, I met a kind doctor who explained that though certainly selfish and foolish, I had been seriously ill, bodily and mentally. I'm grateful to have been given this paragraph to read. I wasn't anticipating reading, but, you know, things happen. God has another plan. And when I read this, I thought, my family tried everything. My father's a very famous surgeon, as is my brother. And boy, did they have concern for me. They would have done anything for me. And they thought it was just, at first, you know, just pushing away from the table, my willpower. They just didn't understand it and still don't quite, you know, but they don't need to. I do. But they certainly tried everything and were willing to try more. But I did have periods where I thought I was, you know, my brain was clear and a little mild exercise and, but, you know, really, basically, at that point, I was on the diet. The spiritual malady had not even occurred to me. I had no idea until I came into the rooms of OA the seriousness of my disease and really how simple it was going to be to just get my higher power and really follow the directions of the Big Book. I had absolutely no idea. I'm grateful that I do know now, today, I am recovered. I know that it's not a diet. If you're a newcomer, stay in, wait for the magic. It will come. Follow the Big Book. If someone tells you information, ask them where it is in the Big Book, because otherwise you're getting information from an addict. So if a person can tell you where it's to be found in the Big Book, then follow the direction. But otherwise, just stay for the magic. It'll happen. And again, I'm grateful to have been given the chance to share. Everybody have a great holiday. I pass.
Thank you so much, Shelley E. Okay, though we value everyone's experience, strength, and hope, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their too. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days and you'd like to comment on this powerful paragraph, please press star 1 to unmute and let me know.
Bonnie B. from Minnesota.
Bonnie B.
Darian K.
Darian K. Anybody else? Well, I'm going to have Bonnie B. and Darian K. kick us off, and I'm sure they'll inspire more shares. So, Bonnie B., please share with us, and you'll be followed by Darian K., and then we'll take a few more speakers.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service, and so grateful, so very grateful to be here today. Bonnie B. from Minnesota, gratefully recovered by the grace of God for today. I say for the next 20 seconds sometimes. So looking at this paragraph, there were a couple of things that jumped out to me. The first was the word kindness. You know, I mean, through his, you know, his family was kind to him, and then he bumped into a doctor who was kind. When I think about myself coming into this program and how I needed people to be kind to me, I needed people. I mean, I relapsed many times. If I had had harsh people, I probably would have gone into hiding. I needed people that were kind, people that were willing to speak the truth, as the opening shared with us, and I so appreciate her words. It needs to be truth. It has to be the truth. We have to know what we didn't know before, but it has to be expressed in a way that makes the person feel as though, number one, you're not alone, and number two, there is a solution. Just come back. Just come back. So kindness was the thing that stuck out to me, because most of us come into this program, or I would at least say myself, I came into the program so beat up. I mean, because I had tried, so beat up, so busted up, that I needed someone who was going to just reach themselves out and say, it's okay, it's okay. Yeah, you know what? You are ill, seriously ill, bodily and mentally. But let me tell you what I did and keep coming back. And it was the love of the group. It was the love of the people that kept me in these rooms, because I relapsed many times. I've been clean for about 17 months. I relapsed many times. I've been on the doors for about 8 years, right? But I couldn't see what I couldn't see, and I didn't know what I didn't know. And lockdown is lockdown. And the big book has the answer, but without people being kind and loving, I don't know if I would have stuck around. So thank you so much for everyone who has spoken into my life and for this program, certainly, and most of all for my God. And I will pass.
Thank you so much, Bonnie B. Good to hear you. Darian K., you're up next, and then we'll take another lineup on page 7, the first paragraph, which begins with, my brother-in-law is a physician, and ends with, had been seriously ill bodily and mentally. Thank you, Darian.
Oh, good morning. This is Darian K. in the Berkshires in Massachusetts. Recovered compulsive overeater for today. So grateful to be on the line with all of you on this holiday weekend. It's very telling, this paragraph. I picked up on a few other words. It's just so awesome how people pick up on different words, and I can just gather so much information from everybody. So I picked up on bodily and mentally, and also foolish. You know, I never was hospitalized for my compulsive overeating, but I was definitely foolish in the ways that I tried to combat it, you know, before program. You know, paying money that I didn't have, or my mother paid it, you know, when I was younger, you know, to try to stick to some kind of food plan that was given to me for maybe a day or two, and then going back and maybe losing a quarter of a pound or gaining an eighth of a pound, and just foolishly thinking that this was the answer over and over and over again. And I followed my mom in and out of these programs, because that's what she did too. She was fooled as well, thinking that this was the place to get that weight off and be happy. And bodily and mentally, I didn't know. I only knew the bodily part. I only knew that I felt fat and ugly. You know, those were the words that went together in my head, that I couldn't fit into the lovely clothes that I, you know, saw everybody wearing in the 70s. I couldn't move the way the kids moved or be in the sports or do the gym stuff, you know, that was so humiliating. But I didn't know it was mental until I came to this program. And now it's as clear as day that it's a mental problem, that it starts, you know, in my head. And I'm so glad that I have the solution bodily and mentally as a result of being in this program. You know, I've been in a very long time, and, you know, a day at a time, I hope that I always stay, you know, in the solution with all of you, because it is so important, more now than it was, you know, back 30 odd years ago, because, you know, my life is what it is, and we get older and we experience other things, and, you know, I need this program mentally at this point, emotional sobriety, you know, and that clear mind that he talked about too in that paragraph. So thank you so much for all being there this morning, and I appreciate all of you. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Darian Kay. So we're ready to take another lineup on the first paragraph on page 7. And
Georgie.
Experience. We have to wait. If you haven't shared in the last 3 days, then we welcome you to share. I heard Joy and Elaine. Anybody
else?
Roz G.
Elizabeth K.
Deborah G.
Elizabeth K. Jordan
L.
Deborah G. Deborah G. I heard somebody after Deborah G.
Elaine G.
I heard Elaine G.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O. Okay, let me tell you what I've got here. Jordan L. Hi. Okay, I've got Joy P., Elaine G., Roz G., Elizabeth K., Deborah G., Kathleen O., and Jordan L. Woohoo! Here we go. Okay, so Joy P., please share with us. You'll be followed by Elaine G.
Joy P., California. Thank you so much for all your service this morning. I can't tell you how important this program is to me to be able to dial in. Handicapped in my chair, thank you from the food I've eaten. You know what's really difficult is to look back, and I'm 82, two doctorate degrees, designated a genius. All of those things have not saved me from compulsive overeating. When I was 2 years of age, I remember being told to push back from the table. Just eat half. Just eat half. I've been hospitalized, sent to camp, psychologist, and I would think to myself, you're intelligent, lady, what's your issue? When I was a child, they kept skipping me into grades. No, you're in the fourth grade, but your brain mitigates that. Let's go to six. But has all that helped me? Fat all the way through high school, fat all the way through elementary school. And my favorite thing is to look back and sort of now laugh at some of the programs I went to. There was one I went to here in San Francisco where the man had you stand in front of a mirror for 20 minutes and look at your awful flab and then say things. So, yes, I think about being hospitalized. I think about all of those issues. And every single time, the only thing that ever works is to seek out and find a group, to find Overeaters Anonymous, where I find the brothers and sisters who understand why I continue eating despite intelligence. Intelligence has nothing to do with it. And I'm so grateful for the possibility of once again achieving my spiritual intelligence. It's the spiritual intelligence that one must have. Thank you so much for being there faithfully. This is my third meeting today, and I'll probably do five. It takes what it takes.
Thank you so much, Joy P. Okay, we have Elaine G. up next, followed by Roz G.
This is Elaine G. from New York. I can't relate to the belladonna treatment, but I can relate that my mentality and my eating, it affected my my mental state, where I was just not, like they happen to say in 12 and 12, not growing up, not dealing with any of my problems, but thinking that eating was going to help everything, you know? And I just couldn't deal with anything. But I got to the point that in my mental state that I just didn't clean the house. I was depressed, antisocial, didn't go out, hardly answered the phone, didn't make any friends. And then I would eat and not even realizing that I'm really killing my body, really killing my body. It all started from the mental state, in denial that I was killing my body with all the cholesterol I was eating, and I just didn't care. But at the same time, I did care, and thinking, no, the food's not, the weight's not going to creep up. I'll be okay. I won't see it on my body. And then my physical state became very poor. And doctors telling me that you're going to end up with you're in the verge of diabetes. And until someone in my building said to me that he was a concierge that came up to my apartment that said, I'm outside. That's where you hear the planes. But anyway, my terrorist, that, I saw you eating tons of butter and mayonnaise and this and that. I was lucky I'm alive. Because I had a stent and it was 90% closed, and a lot of my arteries were all clogged. So I'm very grateful to this program. And no, am I perfect? No, I am not. Far from it. And I told myself last night that I will not compulsively overeat to God. And then in the middle of the night, I said, I don't care. What the hell? My disease, But I keep on trying. And I try my best, and thanks.
Thank you very much, Elaine G. Roz G., you're up next, followed by Elizabeth K.
Good morning. I noticed the quiet in the people this morning and not wanting to share, or not, I shouldn't say not wanting to, but not, we're not putting our names out, so I'm not sure if this is 3 days for me. I hope it is. But today's I'm Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today off for me, so I'm sharing. I hope it's okay. And I have a big book on my phone. So out walking the dog, and here it is. Okay, here's the paragraph. So I would like to also say that, in the past I have kind of dogged on the weight loss industry. I talk bad about them in meetings. I talk sarcastically about them, and I want to repent and make amends for that. People, that work for the commercial weight loss industries are just doing their job. They have a job to do. And, they're people like me and you. And, I did them. And they called me, and they were very kind. When I went to go get a weigh-in, they were kind to me. And when I went to order all those hundreds of dollars worth of food, they were very nice and kind. And they were probably very glad that they made a big sale with me buying their food. And, that's their job, to be kind. And I thought that I was doing something good for myself. And, I was losing weight, but I was not getting a spiritual solution. I was not getting a spiritual experience. And many of the items in the food had a lot of sugar in them. And I loved the desserts that they offered. After I lost the weight and I started doing maintenance, I ordered mostly desserts. So I had no spiritual solution. I didn't have the full understanding of what the doctor's opinion has. I just started the doctor's opinion on it with a new sponsee this morning, and I'm so grateful that I'm reminded that I have the disease of the session of the mind. The craving, I don't have the exact terminology on me right now, but, I have that disease. And that I need God. I need a spiritual experience. I need to have a relationship with God to relieve me of the compulsion to eat. And I'm grateful for the kindness of the people in OA, like I heard in an earlier share, the phone calls that I got in the beginning, the identification that I still get when I do 10-step calls. And I'm thankful for the people in the past that I learned from, that it taught me, you know, this is not for me. The weight loss treatments, the so-called belladonna weight loss treatments, were kind, but they were not for me. The treatment for me is having a spiritual awakening as the result of the 12 steps and circling around those steps every day. Thank you. Circling around the steps every day of my life. Thank you, Elaine, for your service. I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. Elizabeth K., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Deborah G.
Good morning. This is Elizabeth K. in Central Massachusetts. Thank you for all the shares and for your service this morning. The part of this paragraph that really spoke to me where it says, I met a kind doctor who explained, and then it says, I had been seriously ill bodily and mentally. And it was a kind therapist who suggested to me that maybe I had a food addiction, and I was shocked. I just thought that I really liked food a lot and that I had no willpower, and I would cry out to God to help me have willpower, and I never saw that I really had an illness. When I found out or was told that I had a food addiction, I joined a recovery program and had a year and a half of abstinence, but it was a white knuckle abstinence. I was angry that I had to eat this way, that it was unfair, depressed a lot about the food or the things I could and couldn't do. And so eventually I went back into relapse again. And it wasn't until 8 months ago when I regained my abstinence and began working through my program in the Big Book and saw that there really was a solution, that I have an illness. And it made all the difference in the world. It took away the shame and the guilt and the humiliation, because I'm just sick and it's not my fault, but that there is a solution and that God brought me to this solution. So in the long run, he did answer my prayer for help. And I'm grateful to be working through the steps, recovering day by day. And thank you so much for this program and for letting me share. Have a great day.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth K. Deborah G., you're up next, followed by Kathleen O.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for your lead this morning and everyone that's made this meeting possible today and all the shares 12-step in me today. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona and just grateful to be on the line today. And, oh, wow, you know, it took me back to two women that had 12-step me, and it was also other addictions too, not just with the food, but they were so kind and caring and loving. I felt that love. I had been in unconscious state for so long that what connected with me was that heartfelt experience that I had with them. It felt so good, and they guided me into treatment. And when I was in treatment, my eating disorder was addressed. I was put in this one group. It had eating disorders, the purple group. But I was just going through the motions. You know, I had talked to a nutritionist, and I just didn't get it. I was still unconscious. And then left treatment and went through many years in that unconscious state about it. And, you know, I have to honestly say, I want to carry that kindness to the one who suffers today, you know, so that they can have that same experience of what I've gotten here when I came to the Visions program and I got unconscious and I got the awareness and I got the insight that I was bodily and mentally affected by my illness. You know, that when I put those certain foods in my body, I developed that phenomenon of craving and can't stop. And then I mentally obsessed. That's what was going on. It finally clicked. Okay, that's what was going on before I got here. That's the thing. Oh, wow. And it was such a beautiful experience. And I think, again, because of that loving kindness that was given to me, that I felt safe to open up and have that experience. And I want to continue carrying that to everyone that comes into my life that would love to have this experience, and just be a guide and just love them, care for them, be kind, and be a guide. Guide them through this beautiful book, this beautiful 12-step experience is a new way of living. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Okay, Catherine, you're up next, followed by Jordan L.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for moderating this morning. And thank you, everyone who shared and did service by sharing. Awesome shares this morning. So when I came into 12-step recovery, I came into a group that was very strong on the tools, on a black and white food plan that was given to me, weighed and measured, and very strong on accountability. And this group that I, the meeting that I first went to, a lot of people with very kind people, smiling, friendly, and in normal sized bodies. And I'm like, okay, I want what these guys have. So I followed directions and I did what they did. And it worked. But because it was so focused on the tools, I was finding, although I wasn't fighting the food anymore, I was still kind of fighting people and things. And I realized that, you know, I needed to do these steps. And I realized that when I came into Vision and started hearing this book being broken down paragraph by paragraph. And, you know, that belladonna treatment that Bill had. I Googled that once, and I believe there are psychotic drugs used with that. So I kind of chuckled when I read that. It's like, well, no wonder he had a spiritual experience. But the bottom line was he was ready, and that hospitalization was, you know, so crucial. And just like it was for me, my hospitalization was being accountable for, you know, what I was doing, my food. But then to get into where I now focus on my connection with my higher power, because that's what's going to give me the power to not only stay abstinent, but to, you know, trust and rely that whatever happens in life is going to be okay. And I'm so grateful today. I'm so grateful to Vision. I feel like, you know, Vision saved my life, because this is the stuff I need to hear every day. And and we are, you know, we're all here to help each other. And we can all relate. I need to listen to all of you every day, because you're the only people in my life. You know, when I go out in the rest of my life, my friends aren't compulsive overeaters. You know, they're normies. And so I need to make sure that I'm connecting with fellowship every day and hearing your stories and reminding myself not to forget, because it's very easy to forget. You know, it's easy for my addict to kick in and tell me, oh, it's going to be okay. You know, it's not going to be okay. I need to stick to what I'm doing. I need to be accountable, and I need to have this connection with my higher power. And then I don't have to fight the food, anybody, or anything. And thank you, Elaine. I pass.
Thank you so much, Kathleen O. And Jordan L. is up next. And Jordan, just before you share, I want to let people know that we're going to be taking another maybe three or four more shares on page 7, the first paragraph of Bill's story. Please share with us, Jordan.
Thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. the two places where it mentions kind in this paragraph, that is definitely what stood out to me this morning as well. I think it's kind of important to differentiate that this is not kindness that was extended by the brother-in-law or the physician, Dr. Silkworth, the physician that wrote the doctor's opinion. It wasn't kindness that was extended with any expectation. It was extended freely, if you will, right? And what strikes me about this is that, like, I was an overweight kid, right? I started gaining extra weight as a I compulsively overate from a young age, and I started gaining extra weight as a kid. I weighed 200 pounds by the time I was 14 years old. So I had doctors telling me all the time, every doctor I went to would tell me that I needed to lose weight. And looking back on those experiences now, what strikes me is that, you know, they were trying to help, but the only tool that they had at that point in time was to try to shame me into losing weight. And same with the other adults in my life that, again, were well-intentioned and wanted to help, but the only tool they had was shame. And my experience in recovering from compulsive overeating is that, like, I can't be shamed into doing this. I can't even be convinced or talked into doing this. Like, I do this. I dedicate all of this time and energy to my recovery in Overeaters Anonymous because my experience shows me, my own experience shows me that this is the deal. Like, this works, you know? And it's like, it's that simple. And the kindness of another compulsive overeater, that is something that convinced me. And it wasn't...
Just a reminder?
I'll wrap up real quick here. It was because it was presented to me that being a compulsive overeater was a disease. It wasn't something... It wasn't my lack of willpower. This was a disease, and it had progressed to the point where I was powerless. and so, again, my experience is what gives me the willingness to work these steps and to keep coming back and keep coming to meetings with you all. So thank you for letting me share this morning. I'm grateful for all of you guys. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. Okay, though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so others can share their experience too. If you'd like to share on this, please press star 1 to unmute. Let me know.
Melanie C.
Monica L.
Wendy B.
Monica
L.
Monica L.
Wendy B.
And Wendy B. Okay, we may have room for one more. V is in Victor. And we may have room for one more, but I can't guarantee it.
Carrie G., Colorado.
Carrie G. Okay, great. Thanks so much. Okay, Melanie C., followed by Monica L. Please share with us, Melanie.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. Good morning, Elaine. Thank you, everyone, for your service today and the shares today have just moved me greatly. And coupled with this particular paragraph that we're taking apart, again, I am much moved. I'm looking at the belladonna treatment, and I don't know a lot about it, but I know it's not it's not kind and loving on the body. It has quite an effect on drawing out the alcohol from the system, and it's not very pretty. And what he was able to submit himself to in order to be able to get in place mentally and physically, the hydrotherapy, the mild exercise, things like that was asked of me when I was studying with a sponsor, the doctor's opinion about entire abstinence, just to get myself in shape in order for there to be a possibility to receive a treatment for the disease, which I had all cobbled up with the food and my self-esteem and what there was of it and the lack of integrity. And then when I came to the day and the place when someone in this program, many someones, because it had to have depth and weight for me, was able to share that it reached my heart that I had been seriously ill. All those other things that I thought about myself were not true. And that level of acceptance, that level of kindness, that level of awareness just melted away all of the other things that had me attached to trying to fix this externally, to do it on my own. And the way that I did it on my own before, Jordan was speaking about, and that was that critical, judgmental motivation that never worked that I applied to myself and I applied to other people that just absolutely tore me apart and quite frankly settled into the narrow pathways of my brain that increased the level of disease and the toxic thinking, the obsessive thinking that I had all along the way here with this particular disease, that the story would absolutely tear you apart to hear. You wouldn't want to hear them. You know, what we do to ourselves in this deal. But when someone came along and said, affirmed that this is a thing, this is a true bona fide thing that the body is doing and going through. In my case, I think maybe there's some genetic predisposition to all of it that I didn't have a choice over. That there was confusion and lie and torment that preceded the treatment that I'm getting today. That my life is completely different as a result of it. Absolutely, completely different as a result of it. And I think Kathleen was saying, as I get to hear every single day those voices that come through this room here to keep my mind going in the direction where it wants to be pulled back to, but in the direction of I am enough. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Melanie C. Monica L., you're up next, followed by Wendy V.
Oh, hi. Was it Monica L. to share now?
Yes. Thank you, Monica.
Okay, perfect. Hi. So my name is Monica L., and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. And sharing by a gentle nudge from my lovely sponsor. So my story is that I've never been hospitalized like Bill. I've never been to the doctor where the doctor expressed concern. When I started my first, you know, in food recovery, many people said to me, why are you doing that? Because it didn't show so much on the outside. I could hide it well. And nobody told me that I was seriously ill bodily and mentally. So for me, the disease is extra powerful because I don't have that, you know, those moments I can point to and say, yes, this is proof. I have moments of eating out of a garbage can after throwing things away, and I have moments of being 10 and 20 pounds overweight. I have compulsive eating in my history that I can look at. But because my disease is like, yeah, but where's the real proof? Like, we're in court. It sneaks in and talks to me. So I would love anyone who has similar stories with not the really big numbers and not the hospitalizations, but the disease is alive in me. And I do my best working the steps and staying in. I don't leave the program. But that's it from me. Thank you all for your service. You give me such hope. It's Monica L. in Arizona. Thank you.
Thank you, Monica L. in Arizona. Wendy V., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Carrie G.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you. This is Wendy V. from California, and I'm just listening and relating to everybody. And I actually put myself in a program years ago, and it was for recovery from food addiction. And there was all different types of food addicts, anorexias, bulimics, compulsive overeaters in one room. And I remember being there and arguing with the staff because every day I had to pick out my food, and their deal was they kind of made us all do the same thing. We had to eat what was given to us. Whatever we picked, we had to eat. And every day I would write in large letters, no sugar, no flour. And every day I was given sugar and flour, and I would throw little mini tantrums, and I'd be followed to the bathroom. And I kept saying, well, I don't throw up. But they would, you know, wait till I came out of the bathroom. They actually treated everybody the same. There'd be people at the table who wouldn't eat. There'd be people who would wolf their food down. And then there was me kind of in the mix. I don't want sugar and flour. But I was taught how to eat in moderation. And that was the whole program, eat in moderation, you know, which I'm eating in moderation today, no sugar, no flour. So my own intuition knew I had a problem with these things. I didn't make it the 30 days. I only made it 27. And I'm just as baffled today over not eating as I was right before I put myself in that program. I could not understand why I would be sitting outside of a grocery store, eating out of a bag like it was the Last Supper, you know, walking through stores like a zombie where the aisles were just like candy. Everything was like lighting up. And I was like in this comatose phase, just walking through like a zombie, filling up my grocery cart with just junk. And I couldn't, it was almost like being possessed or something. I could not do that. And so today I'm not doing that. I don't even go into those aisles. I go around the aisles, the produce aisles, the milk aisles, and I stay out in the middle aisles. And I'm still just sitting here kind of just in awe of the fact that I'm not doing that. As much as I was shocked that I was doing it and went into this program that, you know, what am I going to do? Be locked up the rest of my life and have somebody serve me food three times a day and snacks and then put me back behind, you know, a cage to keep me from eating? Because that's pretty much what I would need, somebody like me. I'm glad that in this room I don't have just a common problem. I have a common solution. I need a common solution. I can go to jail and we could all have a common problem. But with you guys, there's a common solution. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And Carrie G., we have time for a two-minute share.
Oh, yes. Hi. Thank you. This is Carrie G., recovered in Colorado. Just so moved by all my fellows sharing. I had to jump on. And so this idea of treatment, that Bill needed a treatment because he's bodily and mentally different. So for me, I just have to weigh and measure my thoughts throughout the day. That's my treatment, is to stay in how would God have me be. My thoughts can take me out, and so I really have to look at what am I doing to myself throughout the day. Do I need a 10th step? Do I need to connect with fellows? And the treatment that I get today is this 12-step way of life, living in 10, 11, and 12. Being of service to others definitely gets me out of my head and helps me to connect. And I loved, I have this, I read this morning this idea that my higher power gives me this incredible power to love myself into wellness. And it's kind of a funny thing, and people say, W is wellness, and I is illness. When I am stuck alone in my own head, I am in my illness, the bodily and mental illness of this disease. But together, we are well together. And so I place my hand as many times as I can throughout the day in God's hands. And I have this gratitude mode that I can stay in and not only just list the things I'm grateful for, but throughout the day, you know, thank you, God, for a vision for you. Thank you, God, for my fellowship and my home meeting and all of the tools. Thank you so much. So with that, I just want to just feeding my mind positivity. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you very much, Carrie G. I'm glad you had time to share. Okay, we'll now close the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kara L., please read a vision for you.
Sure. Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God, Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.